Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We bless your name on this evening. In the mighty name of Jesus, we thank you, God. This is the day that you have made. We are rejoicing and we are glad in it. Father, we thank you for Word Wednesday. We thank you that, as it says in Isaiah 55, heaven and earth will pass away, but your word will remain ever, and your word will not come back void. So we thank you, Lord, as the rain and the snow come down to the earth to give bread to the eater and seed to the sower. We thank you, Lord, that your word, hallelujah, is the remedy for our lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Now, God, breathe on your word tonight as we minister your word. We thank you that doors are being opened. We thank you that blinded eyes are being opened. We thank you that mouths are speaking the word of God. We thank you that ears are hearing what thus says the Lord. Now, God, we thank you. We praise you for tonight in the name of Jesus. So bless this time together in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Jesus. We give your name praise. We give your name thanks. We give your name honor on this afternoon, this evening, in the name of Jesus. So we're going to go to the Word of God tonight. So many things in my spirit. But we started on Sunday with the message that I preached, I can't or I cannot go back. And we kind of want to stay in that vein today. We want to stay in that lane because God says you're not done with that yet. Because there's some things I wanted to articulate on Sunday. And tonight, prayerfully, we can slow it down a little bit. We can get into the meat, amen, of why sometimes we just should not, won't, ain't, cannot go back to some things that God has brought us from. Amen, somebody. To God be the glory. Because the truth to be told, the reason we love, the reason they love, the reason, amen, certain things are not in our lives anymore, because God allows the separation. God allows the departure. God allows us to move past certain things. So we thank God for the opportunity of not just delivering us, but giving us the ability, amen, not to return to something that's not the will of God. There is a permissive will of God, and then there is the perfect will of God. And I want to say in the perfect will of God, to God be the glory. But let's go to the Bible, the book of Jonah. I wasn't going to start there, but I am going to start there, even as I was coming tonight. God told me and led me to start here, looking at the life of Jonah. And then we're going to look at the Gospel of Luke, starting with the prodigal son. To God be the glory. But we want to first look at Jonah. Hallelujah. Jonah was a prophet. They say one of the minor prophets. As you go to the prophets that not the ones in the life of Daniel, Ezekiel, Isaiah, Jeremiah. But we thank God that there is nothing minor about the people of God. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
And we're looking at the life of Jonah. Jonah had a calling on his life to prophesy unto Nineveh. But let's look at Jonah chapter number 1 and see Jonah's response. As again, we're talking tonight about, I can't go back. I won't go back to certain things. There are certain things that I cannot go back to. There are certain things that you should not want to go back to in the name of Jesus. But one of the challenges as a believer is that God always tries to teach us how to overcome challenges. Because we all have challenges in our life, whether it's with our health, whether it's with our finances. We may have marital problems. We may have health issues. Sometimes, glory be to God, we're in the marketplace and things are not going the way we thought they would go. Many of us are starting new vocations and new careers in the name of Jesus. But whatever it is, when life is challenging, when life sometimes becomes overwhelming, when things are not going our way, we still got to persevere and buckle down and stay the course and let God be God. Amen?
Amen.
The Bible says he's a way maker. He says, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. So I believe that God is going to make a way. But looking at Jonah, let's start here. Jonah chapter 1, verse number 1. Now, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, the son of Amittai,
arise and go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. But Jonah rose up to flee to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and he went down to Joppa, and he found the ship going down to Tarshish. So he made his family out, and he went down into the ship to go with them to Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind, a great storm in the sea, and there was a mighty storm in the midst of the sea, so that the ship was like it was about to be broken into pieces. Verse number 5 says this, then the mariners were afraid and cried every man to his God, little g, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay there, and he was fast asleep. Jonah was sound asleep. Look at verse number 17. We'll stop at the end. Verse number 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. Here we have the life of Jonah, who in some way went back to what God had called him from. Because apparently Jonah was a man of God, but God even called him to go prophesy to the city of Nineveh. And we see at the end of Jonah, there's only 4 chapters, how Jonah, amen, sits on the hill and he watched if God was going to have mercy and grace on the city of Nineveh. Because eventually he did obey God and he prophesied, and 40 days, if you do not repent, God is going to deal with the city and God is going to deal with you people in Nineveh. But in the text, it says that Jonah is fleeing from God. He's going down on the ship, he's going down to Tarshish, down to Joppa, and he got to say, God says, oh, she said it so beautifully, when we disobey God, when we're running from God, when we're fleeing from God, she said, I don't think her words, we go down, down, down. I know there's an amen somewhere watching, there's an amen in the church, because when we get away from God, sometimes that's why the devil wants to go back. Because when we go back, in many cases, we're settled. Pastor, we're not trusting God by faith. Because when you walk by faith and not by sight, what you're saying is that, God, I'm believing you for my future. I'm believing you for tomorrow. God, I'm believing that my provision is already that by faith. Even on this day, Halloween, 10/31, I'll never forget church. 23 years ago, we moved into our house, our home, on Halloween, 10/31. I forgot what year it was, but it was 23 years ago, and God just showed me, even as I remember moving in, the kids were trick-or-treating, and we were moving into our new home, our first home. I thank God, Lord, be to his name, that we've been there 20 years, but we never had to go back. That's the point I want to get into. Glory be to God. We had post-COVID, we had challenging years. Sometimes we didn't know we were going to keep the house, but God made a way where there was no way. I'm going to praise God saying that God kept us in the midst of prayer for oration, in the midst of downsides in the marketplace, in the midst of our income being decreased. God made a way for us not to go back. Glory be to God. But Jonah is an example of so many people that when God commissions us, God commands us, God tells us, God sometimes pleads with us not to go back to certain things and certain situations, we still find ourselves in the spirit of disobedience, backing up on the things of God.
Yeah.
And I love it, even though, you know, I try very hard to keep drama out of my life. I like my life being drama free. I like my life being drama free. I have enough drama, but now that I'm 25 years of age, I got saved at age 30. For the last 25 years, I'm trying to drama proof my life. But in the show on television now, a series of that Oprah created called Ridley. And my wife and I, we like Ridley. Amen. Some like Empire, I like Ridley. But in this series, there's a lot of drama. A lot of drama. But even as I talk about, I can't go back or I won't go back, very quickly in the series, as we looked at the episode last week, there was a young girl who had a major surgery. I think she's of the people that have this ministry, the Bishop's granddaughter, and she is in a dilemma because she does not or she do not want to go back to church. She don't want to go back to church. Because I and her boyfriend were planning their future, they were going to get married, they were going to have babies, they were going to live happily ever after future. And then she had something going on in her womb and her stomach and her digestive system where they had to remove her ovaries. Amen. And now she cannot produce children. So she's mad at God. And the entire family is trying to get her to go back to the Bible. Come on, somebody. Trying to get her to go back to church. Trying to get her to go back to the things of God. And I don't know what that's for, but sometimes we're not reading the word like we used to read the word. Sometimes we're not praying and staying on our faith and believing God like we used to believe God. There are other times where our church attendance is not the way it used to be. Glory be to God. Sometimes we used to go to church, there were 52 Sundays in a year, and many of us did not miss a Sunday. Now we have what they call sporadic church attendance. And God is saying, even as we have 2 more months left in the year, let's try to get these last 8 Sundays in 2018 and get to our places of worship. Amen to God. Because it is the Sabbath holy. But it's really, I'm going to give this point real quick. It's trying to get us all back to something good. And many times, we're going to look at the life of the prodigal who went back to something good. It was not easy for him to go back, but he went back to a good thing, and he went back for a good reason. There are times in our life where God will tell us to go back and apologize. To go back and make amends. To go back and restore. To go back and help. Amen to God. So going back sometimes is a good thing. But then, the other granddaughter, amen to God, is going back to a bad thing. She has an abusive boyfriend. And we're going to get the contrast between the prodigal son, hopefully I'll get around the world, and the children of Israel who want to return back to Egypt, back to a bad thing. And in Greece, this young girl turned 18 years of age, and she moved out of her grandmother's house, she moved out of her parents' house, she said, all I am, I'm leaving, I'm going to back to my boyfriend that abuses me. Pastor church, she's going back to a bad thing. And that's one of the things I was preaching on Sunday, not to go back to abuse. Don't go back to being abandoned and being violated. Don't go back to being disvalued and not valued and treated right and being disrespected. Those are the things not to go back to. Amen to God. I want to look at this list real quick. Because I do for her real fast on Sunday, but if you got a pen and paper, some things we do not need to go back to. I'm going to say these words real quickly. I may elaborate on a few of them, but if you have a notebook, if you have a pen and paper, write these down, things that we can or we should not go back to. Because that's what we're talking about tonight. God brings us out of something for us not to go back to it. And I talked about this. this honor. Sometimes we have dishonored parents and pastors, dishonored our bodies. Glory be to God. And God says, no, do not go back to dishonor. Honor those things that are honored. Dysfunction. Where in my former life, I was not functioning like a man of God. I was not functioning the way I should have functioned. Even going back to people I respect you, disrespect and discouragement. That's one of the things. That's why I went to Jonah tonight. Because there are patterns in the Bible. And you need to understand that you find yourself in good company when you see that sometimes people come against you or look like those that do evil, those that have not set foot in the church, those who have not taken out the things of God, those who have not tithing and giving love offerings to the people of God, those who have not supported the kingdom of Almighty God. It looks like they're getting away with what was our prayer. It looks like they're getting away with what was said. It looks like God's not looking and God's not dealing with them with a hand of judgment. But I'm here to tell you, you're in good company. Because Jeremiah even said it. Glory be to God. Jeremiah said, how long are you going to look at this injustice? David says, it's a trap for me. I'm comfortable when they are going to die.
Sheep. If he lose one of them,
Do not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which was lost until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. God wants us, church, to care about the one. The one that doesn't want to go to church anymore. The one that has experienced church hurt. The one that has got religion and don't want to think of God anymore. God wants us to have a heart of compassion. Amen to God. God wants us to care about those who sometimes even found the ability to care for themselves. And that's why in Jonah, he went down, down, down. Then God had to send him down to the belly of the fish. It was a metaphor of a place of hell, because God was showing Jonah, when you disobey me and you try to run away from me, when you go back to the thing that I'm bringing you from, it's not going to be good. And we got to wait for God's prosperity. We have to wait for total healing. We got to wait for total deliverance. Sometimes we got to wait for restoration of our relationships, our values, our money. Many of us have earned great wages and great salaries. We were compensated in a big time way. Only to find ourselves today with less income, less of money. Now bringing out our homes and our apartments, even handing out the lease that we own. All these things are happening in our day. It doesn't mean that God doesn't love us. But when you stick with God, He'll give you a reason for mobility. He'll give you a better home. He'll give you a better relationship. God will restore your body to more capacity. They that wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. It shall power of wings and eagles. Run and not get weary. They shall walk in our faith. We are great on God. We are great on the Lord. There's a power of longing. There's a new season. There's a set time for new blood. And there's a set time even for new creation church. So we cannot get impatient, and that's what he was saying. Stop looking for the crowd. Stop looking for the multitude. Stop looking for the popularity. I need you to look for Jesus. I need you to look for signs, wonders, and miracles. I need you to look for a Savior. So we got to understand, sometimes going back, he went back to retrieve the sheep that was lost. He went back for that was lost, and to gain it, and to restore it, and to bring it back to safety, because he knew it was lost, that a sheep being among the world, the world was about to devour that sheep. And that's what happens to all we believers. We are among the world in our day. We are among those who are ungodly, the atheist, the agnostic, the unbeliever, who are trying to deceive and trying to draw us back through fancy arguments, even false religions, trying to draw us back from the things of God. Now we're confused, being tossed to and fro, and God saying, no, you went back to your former ways. I did not call you to go back. I call you to move forward by faith. Amen. Because there were many times, I know I'm not the only one that wanted to quit. I know I'm not the only one that wanted to go back. In my early Christian years, matter of fact, I went back to drinking, I went back real slow, I went back to the party, but eventually, I had no desire to go back anymore. Another thing, I was in the car, and the Holy Spirit said, you don't belong here anymore. I tried to go back, and the Spirit of God did not let me go back. The voice in the middle of smoke, in the middle of drinking, in the middle of music, it was a still, small voice that said, you don't belong here anymore. I took my hand, I placed it on the counter, I chopped up that $5, and I left. And I have not gone back. I heard the testimony of the time in the name of Jesus. When you got a testimony, how God brought you out, how God of folks that were ruined, driven out of the prison, that relationship that was toxic and broken, that relationship in the name of Jesus, that was abusive, breaking in the day. I'm talking to them in the part of domestic violence, and maybe some of you have been there, just that, but God put you out of the heat, and you're not going to back. You're free and free to indeed. Who the Son has set free is free indeed. God, even if I'm listening right now, I heard about the Spirit carrying something. The underground road, the railroad. Jesus called back to free more slaves. Jesus called back into her life. Jesus called back to those who are hurting. Harriet Tubman, hundreds and hundreds of slaves from the nooks of South Dakota, free from the underground river, had a change in her life, but she kept going back for the right reason. And let's look at this powerful son, very quickly, who had to go back for the right reasons. Luke 15, verse 11. And he had, and on the third hand, he had two sons. And the other of them said, Father, give me my portion of good that is fallen on me. And he divided them and gave them his due. Verse 13, and not many days after that, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into the country. And he wasted all of his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all there are those who are not had in the land, and he began to be in want. Verse number 15, and he went and joined himself with a citizen of that country, and he sent him in the fields with the pigs, with the swine. He's a Jew now. That is unheard of. And he was sent to have filled his belly, even with the pig's food. Verse 17, and when he came to himself, come on, and he said, how can your father's servants have bread and bread to spare, and not be about to nourish? I will arise and go back to my father, and I say, Father, I have sinned against you and against heaven. I'm not worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your servants. And when he arose and he came to his father, there was a great way off, a great way off. His father saw him and he had compassion, that's that word. He had compassion on him and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. Sometimes what keeps us from going back for the right reason, I see how he's coming with that for the right reason. I said, Jonah went back for the right reasons to prophesy to Nineveh. And this prophet said, when he came to himself, when he came to his senses, when he got a revelation that, wait a minute, I have an alternative. I have a choice. I have an option. There is another way for me to live. I made a major mistake. I made an awesome break. I made an awesome bad decision. But if I repent, if I ask God to forgive me, if I repent and go back to my Father, and church, sometimes many of us, the devil, he is the one that condemns. Romans chapter number 8 says, therefore there is no condemnation unto those of us who are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation. I don't care what you did last night. I don't care what you did last week. I don't care what you did yesterday. I don't even care what you did today. Therefore, there is no condemnation unto those of us who are in Christ Jesus. Come on, people of God. We know the Bible. If you confess your faith, he is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you and wash you from all unrighteousness. God will wash you. God will give you a Holy Ghost shower. God will rest you off. God will bless you off. God will do your head and your makeup, your nails and your toes. God will restore you in the name of Jesus. And we are looking at somebody that did not let shame He did not let guilt and he did not let embarrassment keep him from going back to God giving him another opportunity. I told the people of God, I share the testimony often, how condemnation and conviction and this dark cloud of guilt used to hang over my head. And I felt ashamed, I felt embarrassed. I felt guilty about some of my former actions. But then I read a scripture in the Bible, glory be to God. For I'm heard to God do a new thing. You do not perceive it. For I'm heard to God, glory be to God.
Look at God,
she or he made it difficult. I understand it was court and litigation situations, but he's helping to speak to the fathers right now, because I'm glory to God. I'm the one in the name of Jesus that allowed myself, oh God, to say, listen, I have not been the best. Listen, I have not always got it right. Listen, I'm coming back to say, listen, for the first 30 years, maybe I wasn't this, that, the other, but I'm coming back to say, forgive me, I apologize, I want to make it right. And God will say, sometimes to us, sometimes when you're going back for the right reasons, God will bless us. God will breathe on us. God will, he don't make it right, and he can do it. He didn't do that in my life, it wasn't immediately, but I see fruit today. I see fruit in manifestation. I see stuff growing. I see God to say 25 years, and something's just starting now. Come on, who am I talking to? He may not do it when he wants me to do it. All I see is the ground now. Whenever the two seeds in front, you just do right by God, and God will do right by you. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
And that's what I want to look at. I'm going to draw a chapter a little bit, but I can look at 1 Corinthians 13. Come here with me when I talk about love. We have a drug and alcohol prevention group called the Most Excellent Way. And at the end of 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, he says, I'll show you a more excellent way, meaning love. But 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 1, I'm going to just sidebar a little bit, get off track a little bit, but we still talk about not going back. But far too many people with the three words, I love you, are sometimes missing God. Nobody can love you better than God. God always checks me, and this is how God checks me. When I'm going to disobey, when I'm out the will of God, when I find myself wandering sometimes, God simply says, Anthony, do you love me? He'll whisper that in my ear 25 years later, do you love me? I love my wife, like Rebecca. I love my children. I love my church family. I love my job. I love making money and providing for my family. I love football. I love basketball. I love banana pudding. Amen. Somebody, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I love lasagna. Glory be to God. I'm so God right now. In the mighty name of Jesus. I love my pork chop. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, glory in his name. I love certain things. But God says, do you love me? And I do love God. And that's how he checked me. He tells some of us to come back to our first love. That's over in the book of Revelation, chapter 2 or 3. He says, return back to your first love. You're doing all these things correctly, but we go back to your first love, meaning God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit. But if I can look at these, the most effective way about love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1 says this, though I speak the tongue of men and of angels, and I have not love, my Bible says charity. Now, I'm going to put the word love there, because the translation says love, and that's what charity means. Though I speak the tongue of men and angels, and have not love, I become as a jumping rat or a tingling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy, many people have the gift of prophecy, but watch what he says, and understand all mystery, that means you got great revelation, and all the knowledge, that means you got a spirit of wisdom, and though I have great faith, that means you have a big, great faith, so that I can move mountains, that means you got big faith. But if you don't have love, Paul says, I'm nothing. And Lord, I'm so all my good. I'm feeding the poor. I'm doing the work of the ministry. There is benevolence. And Lord, glory be to God, I'm going to charity work. And not to be nothing. Verse number 4 says, love suffers long. Love is kind. Love is not envious. Love is not of itself, is not puffed up. Love behaves, does not behave unseemly. Seek is not our own, is not easily provoked, think is no evil, rejoice not in iniquity, bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. It goes on to say, love never fails. Love never fails. And sometimes, I just want to help you and I'm going to help me. First Corinthians 13 is simply saying love is the action word. It gotta be more. It gotta be more than just doing the word, or it gotta be more than just saying the word. It gotta be a combination. He said there are words, but if I'm going for the wrong reason, it ain't right. If I'm saying I love you and I don't have the capability to show you that love, but I really love you with a sincere heart, my actions still should speak louder than my words. And many of us sometimes get off track because we let a word, when people say they love you, when certain things say they love you, when there's certain organizations that say they love you, no, they have to show you love. Because sometimes we melt like butter when we hear these few words because we have a certain deficiency in our life. And I understand that. I've been there, done that. But God is saying, no one can love you greater than me. So anything trying to pull you away from me, anything trying to pull you back out of the hands of God, anything trying to pull you away from church, I know you love that man, I know you love that woman, but anything trying to pull you away from God, God wants us to be more faithful to Him. God wants us to be more loyal to Him. God wants us to be more committed to Him. God wants us to be more dedicated to Him. God wants us to be more loyal to Him. So when other things try to pull us back away from the things of God, we got to be mindful when God says, I am a just God, God don't want to share you like that. Amen.
Amen.
And let's look at it, because I'm running out of time, but I want to look at the contrast of the prodigal, like the girl on Greenleaf. Glory be to God, they're trying to get him to go back to church, trying to get him to go back to the Bible, trying to get him to believe again, even though, God, glory be to God, I don't know why God allowed this young lady not to be able to have babies, but it's a drama, a TV series, it's not reality, but it's showing how some people have backed up from the things of God because they're blaming God for where they are, and they blame God for what happened, but it's a terrible. Evil is always from the devil, whether it's a battle of war, whether it is a war, whether it's sickness and disease, the devil comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I'll say it again, because sometimes we say, well, God has prevented it. I got that. We're in a fallen world for that. I'm not trying to be cold. I'm not trying to be careless or carefree. I'm not having you with kids love, but I am a river. And sometimes we got to face reality. We're in a fallen world. I did not come up in a perfect home. My parents split. Glory be to God. I broke the single parent home, and I thank God for the grace of God. Life didn't devour me. My circumstances didn't swallow me up, but I understand I'm in a fallen world where things can go bad and things can go bad quickly. So if I stay in place, if you stay in place, we know we always have a fighting chance to get the victory in every area of life. We are far too many people that's backing up from church. Churches should be not just nuclear, not just that because I'm a pastor. I'm here for pastors and I'm here for bishops. I'm here for apostles. Attendance is down. The time of office is down. Money is down. And I understand there are multiple reasons why people stop going to church. I get it. Church hurt. I understand it. But God is saying, we got to make a decision to do the right thing. We sometimes have to take ownership and make our determination and say, listen, I'm going to church. I need to hear a word. I need to be among the saints. I need the fellowship of the believers. I need to be in the midst of those that believe. I'm with people that don't believe in my God. I'm with people cussing and people busting and people complaining and people not right. I hear those jobs. I hear it in a word. I spend 12 hours in the world. And the things that I hear, the things that I see, the things that I witness, the things that I'm involved around, I need God. So on Wednesday, on Tuesday, on Sunday, I'm present. I'm on the other. And I'll never forget my wife, a testimony of going from Wall Street to Wall Street. She was on welfare as a single parent, but she never had to go back on welfare because she was determined. Amen, survivor. Working at Brownlands, working job. Right now, I'm ready to go, taking care of the church, and doing great things, raise our family. We thank God, amen, that she did not have to go back there. Some people do have to go back, I get it, but I thank God that determination, you got to be so determined in today's culture to hold up the things of God. Pastor, there's so many things pulling us in so many directions. I mean, every direction, things are going to pull us back. Pull us back to the liquor store. Pull us back to the wrong relationship. Pull us back to people that didn't appreciate us. Pull us back to people that used us. Pull us back to people that didn't respect and honor us. And sometimes we go back, and God is saying, no, don't go back. Look at the children of Israel who actually wanted to go back to slavery. They wanted to go back to Egypt, Numbers 14. Numbers 14. Look at Numbers 14. And God had to deal with them because they wanted to go back, even after God delivered them out. And all the congregation lifted up their voice, I'm in verse number 1. And all the congregation lifted up their voice and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. And the whole congregation, this is a multitude, this is multitude, said to them, what to God that we had died in the land of Egypt, not going to choose anyone to die. Oh, what to God we had died in this wilderness. It started getting hard on them, it started getting challenging, and it started getting a spirit of unbelief. Verse number 3. And wherefore has the Lord brought? Now they blame God. Now listen to this. This is what I say when we falsely blame God. That's why I'm saying I'm going on Wednesday. And I say, well, I can believe it today. Then you bring to blame God for this circumstance. Watch this. And wherefore has the Lord, has God, brought us out into this land to fall by the sword? That our wives and our children should be prey. Were it not better for us to return or to go back to Egypt? And they said one to another, let us make a captain and let us return or go back to Egypt. Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before all the congregation and the assembly of the congregation and the children of Israel. Look at verse number 11, as you skip that for the sake of time. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long will the people provoke me? And how long will they err and believe me? For all the signs which I have shown them until now. Sometimes, and this is, you know, I thought about my life today, and I thought about being in a prayer line last night. We all got a testimony of something. I mean, big that God has done for us.
Yeah.
Whether it's something physical, like giving us more money or more income, whether it's something mental, we used to live in fear, we used to live in doubt, we used to live in unbelief, we had a heart of forgiveness and bitterness, the things that people cannot see. And we had a mental state of mind. We had a negative state of mind. We were pessimists. We looked at that glass half empty. We were a negative person at one period in our life. And now God made us optimistic. God made us a positive person. So that's a blessing right there. That's why we can never be oblivious to the obvious. One reason we can never go back, watch this, is because you simply made too much progress. You simply made too much advancement from where you were to where you are now. Don't be oblivious to the obvious. God has changed your mentality. God has changed many of our emotions. God has thrown many of us off spiritually from many of us, including ourselves. God has increased our income. I'm making more money now than I have ever made because that's God. Right there. For she said in her heart, if I may trouble his clothes, I shall be whole. Verse 29, and straightway her fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her heart that she was healed from her pleasure. I don't know who I'm talking to tonight. I don't know who God is talking to tonight, but this woman was determined not to go back the same way she came. She was determined not to go back with an issue of blood. She was determined to go back, not to go back, sick and broken and not whole. She said, if I press my way, if I push my way, if I keep so determined and persevere and go after my hearing, I'm not going back the same way I came. I don't know if that's real, but God is saying, as you turn into life, you're not going back the same way. You're not going back to work the same way. You're not going back to all the things for the same way. You're not going back to work the same way. Because you touch the heavenly realm, and God has found something that will place you. God has healed you in the name of Jesus. God has considered you. Because you were not determined to go back. You were not determined to settle. You were not determined to give up. You were not determined to retreat and bring the right back to the rhythm. And you said, I'm a brother, I'm going to push, I'm going to push the video, and as God said, you are healed. God is down, you are faithful. God is down, you are restored. Can I give God praise? Can you give God praise? Because he's worthy of his praise. Because you did not go back. You did not go back. And you did not be treated. And now God is going to honor you because you would not have any to set up a give up on God because God gave up on me. The devil is alive. God will never give up on you. And I pray, God is making you to pray real quickly for those who are mad at God because I know it's going to be out. Let me pray. Father, I thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
That you would touch the hearts of your people. God, there are many sometimes challenging things that have happened to us, really traumatic experiences. And God, some of us have blamed you falsely. So I pray right now, God, that you would touch the heart of that one. Touch the heart of that one, God, that needs to forgive, that needs to move on, that need to move past the pain of the past. So God, I thank you for full restoration and restitution. I thank you, God, that you will restore the joy, that you will replace the bitterness and the sadness with the joy of the Lord. You will give them beauty for ashes. That God, you will give them a crown of praise for that spirit of heaviness that they find themselves in. So God, that one, she or he is still mad at you. I pray tonight, those in the sanctuary and those watching, that they will find in their heart to move on and to say, God, I need you. God, hear me. God, help me. So God, I thank you for that one who won't go back. But now we're going to move forward by faith in the name of Jesus. And even those, God, who are discouraged, those who are hurting, those who are frustrated, I pray even in that unhappy state, they will never go back. Even though they're not satisfied, they're unsatisfied, they're just understood, they won't go back. Even in times of unbelief, they will not go back. So God, we thank you for this word tonight. You said, every man put his hand to the plow and go with God is now fit for the kingdom. So God, I thank you that we're fit, we're fortified, we're ready for the task. We're ready for the assignment, God, tonight. There's a fresh anointing on us. There's a new ability on us. There's a renewed strength on us tonight. So God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We're going to give, we're going to sow. I thank you for those who watched the video tonight that you would sow at ccmonline.org. We thank you in advance for your seed and your offering. Those of you in the church, we're going to take an offering in the name of Jesus. God bless, and we thank God for you in Jesus.